Senate Transportation Committee meeting to order. The House committee had to cancel out on their portion. They have a caucus this morning for everybody's interest out there and at the different sites that are on. So welcome everyone this morning. Senator Jones, for the record, Senator Coggio, Senator Pichot, Senator Fisher, and Representative Miller are here. And we'll begin today's meeting and the hearing on Iowa Senate Bill 233, Alaska Railroad Crossing Agreements. The sponsor is Senator Coggio. Senator Coggio, would you like to lead off?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 233 is, of course, self-explanatory. It establishes a new section within the Railroad Act that the corporation has to submit a standardized railroad crossing permit agreement to the legislature for review. And of course, the reason for this is that that we've had so many complaints about between the local government units and the Alaska Railroad that they're not getting along as far as the railroad crossing. 4 years ago, when I was chairman of the Transportation Committee, Mr. Chairman, I established a railroad crossing task force. And the task force was made up of local entity people, state DOT, and Alaska Railroad. And as this went down the road, the thing came apart as far as the railroad working with the local municipalities, and out of that has created a disagreement, and that disagreement has been going on. And so Representative Miller and I, at the request of the city of North Pole and the city of Wasilla, have established this bill. And the Alaska Railroad, Mr. Chairman, is a public entity and should be more sympathetic to the rail belt community concerns and needs, because it is a public entity. And the railroad attitude over the past years was portrayed in an article in the Anchorage Times dated March the 2nd of this year, where Vivian Hamilton, the spokesman for the railroad, said, "We were here first, and we'd rather not have any crossing." I think it's time for the legislature to resolve that, because you can't use the Alaska Railroad right away as the same context as you do the Burlington Northern or those type of things, because we do have a public fiduciary responsibility, and that's the reason why the bill's in. And Mr. Chairman, Representative Miller's here. Maybe he'd like to comment further.
All right, Representative Miller has the same bill in the House. It's House Bill 234, I believe.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Just following up somewhat on the remarks of Senator Coggio, and I think the senator has put it pretty much on the table. Maybe just to add a few more remarks to that. I guess part of the problem is, under this permit system that the railroad has, it's a system where the permit holders are required to bear 100% of the cost of maintaining these crossings, while the Railroad Corporation makes 100% of the decisions regarding the maintenance that needs to be done and who will do it and et cetera. And also, I'd also like to add that I believe it was 7 years ago or so when the ARC bill was originally written, it was 70 to 75% of that bill was written in a subcommittee that I chaired. So I know what the intent of the legislature was at the time of the creation of the Alaska Railroad. And yes, we did give them a lot of latitude when it came to making decisions, but at the same time, there were strict guidelines. If the railroad went beyond the boundaries, because they are a public entity, if they went beyond the boundaries where they were not treating the other government entities in the state fairly, that the understanding was that at any time we would bring them back. And you know, this was kind of a trial out there, and at any time we could bring them back if they were not treating other government entities fairly. And in this particular case, I just do not believe that they are treating other government entities fairly. And if we need to bring the railroad back and to rewrite sections of the ARC, then so be it.
Okay, we'll find that. Any questions so far from the committee? Okay, if not, we'll go out to our teleconference sites. In Fairbanks, we have five people. First one, person, please step up.
Which one are you going to first?
Fairbanks.
Yes, this is Toby Weeks. I'm a huge engineer with the Alaska Railroad. I am here in Fairbanks, and Larry Wood, chief counsel of the Alaska Railroad, is in Anchorage, and he is the primary spokesman for the railroad. So I'd like to defer any of my testimony until after Mr. Wood has had a chance.
All right. So somebody else would like to testify there in Fairbanks?
Yes, this is Juanita Helm, mayor of the Fairbanks North Shore Borough. And am I on?
Yes, hear you loud and clear.
I have a couple of statements that I'd like to make. First, about the railroad and the relationship, which is relevant to these bills that are before us. But I also have a question regarding the bill. It states that the corporation may not utilize a standardized railroad crossing permit. Does this bill allow the railroad then to individually negotiate permit crossings if they don't do the standardized crossing permit?
Senator Coghill.
The way I, Juanita, this is Senator Coghill, the way I understand it is that there is a standardized railroad crossing permit agreement that the railroad has put together, and it's probably modeled after something from the lower 48. But if you read section 3 on line 20, it says section 1 of this applies to railroad crossing permits agreements entered into by the railroad corporation after the effective date of this act. And I think that there is a standardized system, but I think that they're standardized railroad crossing permit, there are certain sections that pertain just to that local situation.
Okay, thank you. Also, there was a meeting of four boroughs in the Railbelt area last Saturday, and a resolution was passed. This is the municipality of Anchorage, Fairbanks, Northstar Borough, Kenai Peninsula Borough, and Matsu Borough, and I'll just read and now therefore be a resolved part of it. But if the legislature does not wish to allow municipalities to tax the Alaska Railroad Corporation, the governor or the Alaska Railroad Corporation Board of Directors are requested to, 1, reduce or eliminate the cost of maintaining railroad crossings to municipalities and private landowners, and 2, use Alaska Railroad Corporation profits to maintain railroad crossings. The concerns that the Fairbanks-Dunstar Borough has is, first, that the municipalities are told that they cannot do the maintenance themselves, that they must pay the railroad for the maintenance work because they're the only ones with qualified people to do it. And, but at the same time, we're to hold the railroad harmless, which means we don't have control over the kind of maintenance that's done or the cost of the maintenance. But we do have all of the liability involved with it. The threat is then in some locations, like North Pole, that if the permit is not signed under those conditions, that the crossing will be closed. I know that we as a municipality under our planning have to be real careful about taking away a person's use of their land. And I'm concerned in the borough that there may be locations that are just closed off to development because they can't get a railroad crossing. We don't have road towers. This would force a private land owner to sign a permit and to assume all of the costs of maintaining the crossing. And then, on the other hand, as a private corporation, which the railroad is sometimes claiming to be, DOT is the one that's paying for the entire cost of putting the crossings in. And I sort of wonder who pays the match for the federal money that DOT uses, and whether all of that is figured in when profits are claimed by the railroad. Thank you for having this meeting, and I appreciate having the opportunity to testify.
Thank you.
I'd be glad to answer them.
Mayor Helms, this is Senator Coghill. Is Carlita Lewis, the mayor of North Pole, is she going to testify, or are you testifying in place of both Fairbanks and North Pole?
No, Carlita is here.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Can we go to Anchorage? There's three people there. Anchorage?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me? This is Larry Wood speaking.
Real good. Go ahead, Larry.
Chairman Jones and committee members, I've got a few preliminary remarks that I'd like to make, and then perhaps we can talk about specific issues and specific questions. Obie Weeks has already commented that he is standing by in Fairbanks to assist with any more specific questions about costs and crossings. These bills call for legislative review of the railroad's crossing permit form. And in the past, it's true that those forms have set forth the terms and conditions under which the railroad allows crossings to be built over existing rail lines. Permit terms have required that road powers accept the responsibility for crossing maintenance costs and for crossing liabilities, as Mayor Helms has stated. But this isn't a new policy. It was put into place well before the state purchased the railroad. And in essence, the party which is benefited by the construction of a crossing, whether that party is the railroad or a municipality, is also responsible for any related costs or liabilities. This is equitable since the benefited party should assume the full price which is associated with the proposed project.
Who's the benefited
party? And this is an understanding which has been applied to crossings of highways which the railroad has requested. Example is the Allison Branch north of Fairbanks, and the crossings of the railroad which the state and municipalities have requested. After all of these years, some municipalities, as we've heard, have suggested that crossing costs and liabilities be shifted to the railroad, even in the case of crossings which were installed for the convenience and for the benefit of their community. Despite the steps the railroad has recently taken in an effort to respond to concerns regarding maintenance costs, some of these communities appear to be seeking a legislative avenue to concessions which have not been available to them during our discussion. The bills talk mostly in terms of legislative review of a form, but that form would become the basis of a renegotiation of all existing crossing agreements, and those agreements affect some 273 crossings. So Mayor Helms is correct. What we'd be talking about is an entire renegotiation of the agreements that we've had to date. And before that monumental task begins, and I've presented a fiscal note which explains the financial impact of such a huge project, some municipal leaders may be hopeful that the legislature will shift all of the crossing maintenance costs and liabilities to the railroad in this form, no matter who constructs them and no matter who is benefited by them. We really believe that this type of legislative oversight and involvement in these contract negotiations is counterproductive and really interferes with the sound management of railroad operations by its appointed board of directors. And as you know, you previously established the board to operate the railroad company in a business-like fashion.
And also did they share?
And with regard to the handling of these issues, we believe that the board and the management team that it put together have acted reasonably and responsibly, and in line with your earlier direction that the corporation manage its finances prudently and protect its assets from unnecessary risks and expenses. But as I mentioned, negotiations between municipal leaders and railroad managers have alleviated several concerns. As example, the corporation helped to develop, and Senator Coghill mentioned this, a statewide Alaska Railroad Highway Crossing Policy. Now, this sets forth engineering guidelines for the development of new crossings, protection of existing ones, and maintenance requirements for all of them. It's really not a contract so much as engineering guidelines. And so for the first time in one place, permit holders have clear standards which must be met in order to safely operate and maintain the crossing. In addition, the railroad established its annual signal maintenance charges, standardized its annual signal maintenance charges so municipalities could better plan and budget crossing-related expenses. Frankly, of the 359 crossings over the Alaska Railroad, there are only 76 which are signalized, and it is the cost of signal maintenance which has generated the most debate. Other costs include clearing brush from site triangles, installing signs, and maintaining road and crossing surfaces. But this work is done rather infrequently and seems to have led to little or no controversy. I'd like to point out also that the railroad reaps no profits from its signal maintenance work. We use highly skilled technicians who have at least 4 years of experience, that is classroom and on-the-job training. No matter whether a crossing is owned by the railroad, the state, or a municipality, it is visited at least once a week for inspection, testing, and servicing. And that's in line with National Association of American Railroad Standards. These railroad charges come to approximately $3,200 per crossing per year. As I mentioned, the inspection is done weekly for the sake of public safety. The costs include labor and benefits, travel time, parts, and overhead for a total of about $62 per week. That's 1 hour of time, roughly $60 an hour. Now, use of equipment such as vehicles and the cost of materials would be extra. Trouble calls average an additional $500 to the crossing. As I mentioned, we haven't heard from Wasilla, but their bill has been higher because of a terrible vandalism problem. Also, the railroad agreed to waive its annual administrative fee related to the handling of federal, state, and municipal permits. Otherwise, the usual permit is $400 per year. Unfortunately, and despite these efforts, municipal concerns with those costs, especially related to signal maintenance, have not been eliminated, as you've heard. As a consequence, and despite the fact that we truly believe that the railroad has been fair and reasonable, we recently requested the state ombudsman to fully review the issues and attempt to resolve any remaining differences between the railroad and local communities. As you know, sometimes a disinterested third party can mediate a result to stall negotiations. Some of these thoughts that Mayor Helms has mentioned will certainly be considered at that time. We've got some additional and more technical concerns with the bills, but those are explained in our statement beginning at the bottom of page 4, and I don't plan to go into them unless you have specific questions. And I felt it was more important to dwell on those issues which seem to be generating this legislation. Finally, the understanding between the railroad and municipalities with regard to the handling of crossing liabilities and crossing maintenance costs has been a long-standing one. We believe that it's based upon sound reasoning and equitable principle. Thank you, and as I mentioned, we'll stand by for questions.
Okay, we'll take questions. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just regards, I guess it's maybe the attitude that I see in the railroad, but I'm glad the gentleman spoke about the ombudsman. But just to give you an example, the Railroad Corporation issued a press release to all the newspapers at the City of North Pole, and they were going to the ombudsman. Unfortunately, they forgot to contact the City of North Pole that they were going to the ombudsman, and the City of North Pole knew nothing about it. And all of a sudden, here we are showing up in all the press releases. So I think this is just an example of the disregard that the Railroad Corporation has for all the municipalities out there, and it shows why that maybe there needs to be more legislative oversight of the railroad. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry, who maintains the crossings in the unorganized area? Who maintains the crossing there at Parker's Patch, for example?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Coggill, Parker's Patch Crossing, and Obie, correct me if I'm wrong, is maintained by the Department of Transportation under permit to the state.
And the same at down there by, I'm just thinking of two or three of them that are on the main Parks Highway, Larry, the one at Broad Pass, the one at the Igloo, these, Obie, are they all maintained by DOT, or does the railroad maintain them with a payback from DOT?
Senator Coggill, this is Obie Weeks in Fairbanks. All of the Parks Highway crossings are under permit to the State of Alaska Department of Transportation, as is like the crossing into Anderson also. the signal maintenance is performed by my employees, and the bills are issued to DOT regarding that. As far as the maintenance of the site triangles, DOT performs that maintenance, and the actual maintenance on the crossing surface themselves, most of those crossings have just been rebuilt through some of the federal aid funds. Therefore, there really hasn't been any maintenance costs related to the crossings.
Okay, thank you. Back to Larry, Senator Coghill again. Larry, what happened to the, don't you folks have a railroad community committee that all of the municipalities, North Pole, Fairbanks, North Star, Burrow, Nenana, Wasilla, don't you have a committee for between the railroad and the railroad communities to bring up mutual concern items?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Coghill, that is correct. That is called the Community Briefing Council, as you stated. It did meet last week. We had the mayors from the respective boroughs there. Mayor Helms attended. Mayor Jones from Mat-Su, Hank from Anchorage. We had a representative from Seward, Dorothy Herbeck. I know I'm forgetting someone. Hopefully, if you can help me on.
Steve Bainbridge from Nenana and Georgia Buck from Whittier. Thank you.
Was this subject brought up? Have you tried to get a resolve on this? I'm a firm believer that the legislature should not be putting legislation in to amend the Railroad Act until the sensitive issue hits our desk, and when it hits our desk, we have to deal with it. And I've reiterated this many, many, many times, and that's the reason why this bill is in right now. But has that committee address this issue to any kind of a conclusion?
Senator Coghill, this was discussed. Both Obie and I attended the meeting. The crossing costs and liabilities topics were specifically addressed by the railroad. Mayor Helms would probably be a more objective observant of that process, but from where I sat, I think that we made some headway in talking about the issues. I believe the mayors were very, very delighted to see that the state ombudsman's office would be involved in taking a look at possible solution. Well, I saw that as a positive meeting with a possible additional avenue of seeking some middle ground.
Well, I guess my problem is I have a little bit of a hard time with it, Larry, and I just was wondering if you had record of that meeting or if it's just a gathering, because I understood from my people that they have had meetings. Why wasn't this thing resolved there? And then we turn around and on April the 8th, which is just some 5 days ago, the mayors of the rail belt met and passed this resolution directing. And have you seen that resolution, Larry?
Senator Coghill, no, I haven't. We were dismayed, too. I cannot explain that. Perhaps Mayor Helms would like to speak to that issue. I really had the impression that folks were interested in watching this process of obtaining a third party to help mediate some result. And I was surprised to hear about the meeting and especially about the resolution.
Okay, I think we can go back to Fairbanks. And we have a question, Senator Pershaw.
Mr. Woodson, your volunteered fiscal note, I see here that you mentioned you have 273 permits currently out, and that under the terms of the bill before us that you would have to renegotiate those permits
right.
Pursuant to the standard agreement. What's the normal cycle of a permit, or what's the normal duration of one of your typical permits now?
This is Larry Wood. Obie, would you have a handle on the typical length of those permits? I would guess they're at least, they may be either indefinite or they may be long-term, 15 to 20 years. I might also add that the number of crossings, it is true, 273 are affected by these agreements. Many of the crossings, however, are covered in one or more permits. In other words, if you're dealing with the state or with a particular city, they may have all their crossings under one or two or three permits. Well, we do have a handle on the typical duration of those agreements.
Yes, it's only weeks from Fairbanks. Most of the permits have been issued for 20-year duration, and I don't know how many the total crossings have been permits have been issued since the transfer. However, most of the crossings are covered by a permit form, which is basically the same as the one that we're discussing today.
Well, I'm of course concerned on the fiscal impact of renegotiating all of those. I mean, that in your fiscal note, it did come up to some substantial amount of money to go through that process. On the other hand, I guess I'm sympathetic if there are not to the municipalities, if there's not a good way for them to go back and revisit some of these issues. For example, in their resolution, they say, whereas the Alaska Railroad Corporation has increased easement and permit costs, maintenance costs, and in some cases blocked railroad crossings in communities, threatened to close roads unless crossing maintenance fees are paid, and generally is assessing unfair charges to communities and local citizens. I don't know about the truth of all of that, but it sounds bad. And especially if, I guess I would be looking for some answer to how do they get back to you or negotiate with you on the question of fairness of the charges being assessed.
Hi, this is Larry Wood speaking. One of the points that we make in the statement is this one. These communities are very important to the railroad, and community relations is a very important item. We have so many mutual interests. It's important for us to get along. It's true. You have a point that these agreements won't normally come up for a renegotiation, but we do have an interest in addressing the concerns that the cities are raising. Some of them. We try to take some steps to alleviate those concerns. They have the position that we haven't gone far enough. I think it's in our interest to do that, whether you call those public interests or business interests or a matter of community relations. I can assure you that we're going into this process with the Ombudsman in good faith, and we're looking for solutions.
Carlita. Okay, let's go back to Fairbanks. And
actually, just very quickly.
Mayor Helms, are you there?
Yes, I am. I would be glad to comment on the question. The Alaska Railroad Briefing Council did meet, and it was announced at that meeting that the Ombudsman has been brought in, and Briefing Council, as I see it, has not been used as a tool to do negotiations on issues, or at least large issues, like the crossing issue. At that meeting, the mayor of North Pole is not present, and they're the ones in this locale that are having the most problems at this point with the railroad. What we do is we deal with sort of day-to-day kinds of things that come up with the communities along the rail belt, but we don't negotiate at that meeting. Having been told initially in the meeting that the Ombudsman was being brought in, I didn't feel compelled to review all of the complaints that we've had with the railroad. It seemed to be redundant to do that when you're told the Ombudsman is going to review it. I did reiterate some of the concerns of the borough, such as closing off access. On reflection, though, I can see where there may be some advantages to the Ombudsman, but I'm concerned now that when you think of the charge of the Ombudsman, I believe what they do is review policy that exists and make sure that that policy and the regulations and those kinds of things are being complied with. I don't know, unless they've got a different charge in this case, whether they review those policies to determine whether they're appropriate or not. I'm available for questions.
So who is that?
Juanita.
Juanita, this is Kevin Heron here in Anchorage with the Ombudsman's office.
Yes, hi Kevin.
Would you like a response or Mr. Chairman, would it be possible to respond to Mayor Helms?
Let's just hear everybody.
That's the Ombudsman.
She wants to respond.
I got a response. I don't know if the committee is interested.
The way I understand it is that we have a pretty broad
So with that in mind, let's go back, let's stay at Fairbanks there and hear from the mayor of North Pole, Carlita Lewis.
How many more have you got?
One more Fairbanks besides you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carlita Lewis, mayor of North Pole. I guess this morning I'd just like to maybe a little background. Of course, we were very happy when we heard that the state was going to be taking over the railroad. Everything is always better when you can deal locally. That was our opinion. Well, our opinion has changed. When the federal government had the railroad, we were not required to pay for the maintenance or upkeep, the brushing. We were not held liable for all insurance. They did come through the town and they did pretty much of everything and left us alone. Things have changed since then, and we now have a contract, which is not something that we could sign because it's a 20-year contract, and this is something that's illegal. We cannot sign such a long-term contract. But in that contract, it states that we will be responsible for all maintenance on the crossing. Also, we are responsible for all insurance, and we'll hold the railroad harmless. I think that's going a bit far. The gentleman from Anchorage said that the railroad is run like a business. Well, if you run a business, you also have to have some of your own responsibilities and pay for your own maintenance costs. You don't have the community and the people living there to pay for your maintenance and operational costs and then collect the profit. I guess the biggest problem is it's a blank check kind of sitting right out there. The railroad comes in and uses their expertise.
You should know that.
Do all the work, the inspections, et cetera.
A letter.
Then that bill can be put on my desk. The people of North Pole pays for this. We don't even know if we can afford it. The economy is bad enough now that people can't afford these extra things. I guess I feel that we've tried. We have a file folder, at least 6 inches thick out there, and we have letters written to almost everyone. We tried to negotiate with the railroad. We feel that at least they could be responsible for part of the cost. After all, the trains go across those tracks. They've got to be doing some damage. Is our cars going across there doing the most damage?
Basically, some of the stuff.
We have not gotten any results. They will not negotiate. We get arrogant and rudeness, and we've been told, we will do it this way. Excuse me. They have closed a couple of our crossings because of the liability. And, of course, there has been threats that the rest of the crossings will be closed if we don't do the maintenance, the brushing, and sign contracts.
Sorry.
I feel this is something that a community cannot assume responsibility. I guess I feel that the House Bill 234 and Senate Bill 233 is something that had to be done ultimately because I feel that the railroad has total control of making all the rules. And when you have total control of making the rules and then enforcing them, it's kind of like a dictatorship. I mean, somebody has to be accountable to someone else. And I think in this case, the railroad has to be accountable to the legislature because they certainly are not talking or negotiating to the community. I had, at one time, approximately a year ago, went to a breakfast meeting with the Chamber of Commerce in Fairbanks because I heard Frank Turpin was going to be there. Frank Turpin was there, Obie Weeks was there, there were several people that was on the railroad, the board was also at that breakfast meeting. I did give them my thoughts and complaints and asked them if something could be done. I did not hear from them except to have a letter telling us how much per hour all these things cost. I had not been contacted by Mr. Turpin until yesterday. Called and said maybe we should get together one of these days. Well, yeah. I had thought that for a long time. It'd be nice if I could talk to someone and maybe we could negotiate part of the bill could be, you know, ours and part of the railroad. But I don't think that the communities and the people that live out along the rail belt should be set for the total bill and the railroads make a profit. That's just not the way it's done. And I just feel that since we cannot have any type of negotiations and we can't get anywhere with them, I think it's time that we do have these House and Senate bills, and I appreciate your entering them, and I ask everyone to support them.
Okay, thank you. No questions. We'll move to Matt Sue. Is there someone there at Wasilla?
Hello, this is John Stein at Wasilla. Thank you for letting me speak this morning. I guess the first thing I'd like to say is, we're crushed here because, to my knowledge, we weren't invited to the community briefing council last week, and I don't know whether Carletta was or not, but next time you have a meeting, we'd sure appreciate an invitation because I think we could offer some constructive comments.
Well, I said, Wasilla wasn't invited either.
The first thing I'd like to say is that Section 4249.10 of the Railroad Corporation Act says, and I quote, the exercise of the powers granted by this chapter shall be in all respects for the benefit of the people of the state, for their well-being and prosperity, and for the improvement of their social and economic conditions, unquote. And I think in the broad policy context, this is where I think the legislature should look and the Railroad Corporation Board should look. Clearly, the railroads should benefit all the people of the state, yet most of the cost, or yet at the present situation, the costs are not equally borne by those people. And that is that some communities are carrying inordinate costs. Specifically, Wasilla's problem is that, first of all, we're the only small community currently paying for signalized crossings other than the city of Anchorage, is the other larger city. The Alaska Railroad, because of its existence through the center of our community, forms a strategic barrier to commerce and communication. The crossings are installed, in fact, to overcome that barrier. Some 6 miles of the railroad involves about a 200-foot right-of-way right square through the center of town. And we, in order to cross that barrier, we maintain utility and traffic crossings. Three of those are signalized and one is unsignalized. The state maintains three crossings in addition that serves the community. The local cost to maintain our four crossings comes to about 10% of our total road maintenance budget. We maintain 57 miles of road for $138,000, and last year we spent about $15,000 of that just to maintain the railroad crossings. The impact of the railroad on Wasilla is noise, a hazard obviously from the passage of the trains, potential spill and accident. It limits the free access across the tracks. It restricts our utility connections. We're subject to the noise, exhaust smoke, and the visual impact of the operation of the railroad. And those are definite costs to this community, and we're certainly willing to bear our fair share. But without the railroad contributing as a tax base, we have no basis financially to compensate for those costs. The railroad is not like a highway. It is clearly more restrictive and is not amenable, as amenable to the highway for local benefit and use. Now, that's not to say that we ignore the benefits of the railroad, because it's clear that it provides employment, we have a local freight siding, we have occasional passenger service, it's a clear benefit to the state economy, and we appreciate the rules and regulations that provide for the safety of the public and the railroad operations. So I guess my feeling in general is that I think Senate Bill 233 is probably premature. I wouldn't argue with that, but I do think we need the long-term policy study on how to deal with the bearing the cost of crossings. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll go to Nanana. Do we
the legislature or any other body in order that we can best serve our customers. Because the telecommunications needs are day by day, and the permitting process itself needs to be moving forward during any type of review by the legislature. But thank you for the opportunity to make these comments, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. I wasn't meaning to cut off Matt Sewell and come back, but we do have somebody in the NAN, I believe. Would you like to go ahead, please?
Yeah, Chairman Jones and committee members, can you hear me now?
Sure can.
Yes, this is Steve Bainbridge with the city of Nenana. And the position we're adopting up here at this point now is to wait for the ombudsman to review the issues, and hopefully this will bring some resolve. And I appreciate the comments that they're looking for solutions in good faith. That's all I've got to say at this time. Thank you.
Okay, real fine. We'll go to Fairbanks. We have one more. Sam Helms, do you want to testify?
Right on.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And Sam Helms, I agree with these two bills, only I don't think they go far enough. I think the railroad has a bad attitude, attitude. I think that it needs to be looked into.
That Juanita's husband, the guy that's
sleeping on the state DOT, $80,000 a year to the railroad from Little Coal Creek in the Fairbanks.
I introduced him that way one time.
How would you like to have a business? Start over. Your normal course of business, you normally had your costs in, and then you add it into your what you're selling here. Service, but it's a railroad here wants to pass their cost on to the taxpayer, and so they can maintain a low rate that basically has run the trucking industry out of business. I disagree with that. I think that they're, if they're in business, they ought to pay their way. I talked to Washington, Oregon, Seattle, Portland, and the DOT of respective places, and they all said that the railroad pays for the maintenance crossing and the areas between the tracks. The DOT normally pays for up to the tracks. The other thing is, what this would do as far as development on subdivisions outside of a municipality, if there were no crossings, they have a policy of a crossing every 2 miles. And if there's no crossing that a person could build a road to, it's in fact enough that when this bill comes up, when the railroad comes up for review, for sale, I'll actively work towards selling it. Thank you.
We have one more testifier.
Go ahead, please.
I am Mayo Kaiser with Municipal Light and Power in Anchorage, Alaska. I am concerned about these two bills from the standpoint of the time frame that it would take a legislature to review these individual permits. I realize there are some big issues about cost and so forth, but these are not overtly addressed in this bill. What is addressed is the fact that the legislature will review each permit, and that it could be a very time-consuming thing, which could effectively halt construction of a project that needs to get done. Personally, we have had very favorable dealings with the railroad and have not found them difficult to negotiate with. We do look at the cost of these crossings as the cost of doing business for us. Of course, we would like some cheaper, but everyone would like something for nothing. But again, I would like to state that we have real concerns about what this would do to the timing of our project, and could stop construction for a whole year sometimes, the way that we read this bill.
I think you would take another look at the bill that this bill is looking for. And
we are involved in crossings also.
Yes, very good. I'll go to... back to Wasilla,
and
we have Bob Harris there.
Yes, I am here.
Go ahead, please.
I guess I don't have a whole lot more to add than what Mayor Stein put in here. I do think it's necessary that legislation, legislators do get involved in the process, now that the ombudsman is being called in, perhaps we can resolve the problems through that avenue. I don't have a great deal of faith on it because of the attitude of the railroad so far that it's the community that must pay for these crossings and not the railroad that contributes to the cause of these costs. One item that's not been mentioned yet, that although the city of Wasilla's example must pay the taxpayers in the city pay for those crossings, they are certainly not the only ones using those crossings. Anyone in the state uses those crossings in their transportation, with their vehicles, or where they're going to their destinations. But yet, the taxpayers of Wasilla are the only ones caught for those costs. Again,
they drive on
I think the railroad is here to benefit the state and all the people in the state, and the cost that are incurred for these crossings are certainly not equitably distributed in the present system.
That's all I have here for those that want to testify. I guess I'd just like to make a statement. We've heard quite a bit of dissatisfaction negotiating. I would hope that would not be true. There would be some benefits from further negotiations. Urge the communities to please look at this seriously, that we don't have to pass legislation, we don't have to get involved in this. Nobody likes it when we get involved. You never know what's going to happen. You throw something in down here, nice, you never know what's going to come up. So I think it behooves everyone to sit down and try to on a compromise basis, both sides. If you can do it, and if the ombudsman wants to get involved, I suppose we'll close the hearing, and he's got things to do, so we're looking forward to it.
28.
I'm trying to rest the show.